Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks. I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister, and we're booting up.
We are booting up. That's right.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, for people who don't know, my show Boot Up is now back on the air. I found myself fairly unemployed lately. I'm like, hey, you know what? I never gave that show the chance that it deserved.
Yeah, people seem to like it, Jason. Good job.
Yeah.
Do you do a Friday one? Do you double down?
No. Hell okay. No. All no, right. This is Friday.
Okay.
People want Friday. They can pay us and get this a little earlier. That's all the right. way Fridays work.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I may end up doing a Sunday show, though, just to wrap up with all the stuff we talked about. Okay. And for anybody that doesn't know, the idea of Boot Up is it's just tech news in 10 minutes, straight dish on the stuff that generally that we don't even cover. You know, the boring news. But it is
the links that don't make the show.
Yeah. the unfunny stuff. It's commute friendly, so it's only 10 minutes, but it's written so my dad can understand it. So a 75-year-old non-tech person can get the gist of it. And I explain All right. more complicated terms as we go. If there's something that is a little bit more complicated, I will take a little bit of time to explain it. So it is your parents' podcast.
Jason, what's a NIFT?
What is a NIFTY? Well, Brian, let's talk about nifties for a second.
Okay.
I saw this headline and I just had it just cracked me up. NFT bro laments that nobody is buying expensive JPEGs anymore.
Wah. Obviously, he was not on the Discord channel that told him to pivot.
Yeah. To AI.
To AI.
Yeah. It's like, dude, we're in the new Discord channel. Come on, come over here. Maybe he was too bro for the bros.
Yeah, I mean, I still occasionally see the GMs on the Twitter, and I'm
yeah.
like, yeah, God bless you, going down with the ship.
Mm-hmm. We know where your kids' college fund is stashed.
I think at sure. some point it's gotten down to like five people selling NFTs to each other. I think
yeah.
that's it. Yeah,
that's kind of it.
It's like
that's
musical kind of chairs. It. One person's going to be stuck holding them all as soon as the music stops playing.
Yeah, hopefully it's Jimmy Fallon. Because after that thing he did with Paris Hilton, come on, he deserves it.
That's true.
He deserves it. I wonder how that show's going with Seth Green. I bet that's been...
Shit-canned?
Shit-canned, yeah. That's the word I was looking for. That's the contraction I was looking for. Especially yeah. after he spent all that money to buy back the bored ape that he had stolen.
Oh, geez. What wonderful, what fun and wonderful days those were.
I
as
know.
As we sat here and laughed and laughed and laughed.
Oh, man. It was just hours and hours of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't stop the Trump train from rolling because mm-hmm. Melania Trump has just released an Apollo 11 NFT.
Sure. That's right. On brand. Why
yeah,
not?
Right on brand. Even though NASA says, please don't do that. They went ahead and did it anyway. And it is god-awful ugly. It looks like an iPod, an old iPod, an original iPod. But instead of the click wheel, it's got the moon. And it's in Bryce Chrome spinning. So it looks right. like kind of like a rave flyer from the 90s.
Ooh.
But if you want one, they're $75. And out of the 500 available, there are 465 left. So you can jump right on that one.
465 idiots out there. Yeah, I mean, she took a photo from NASA's archives, which is a violation of their image usage rules. So, again, on brand.
Yeah. Yeah, let's break the law. Right on brand.
Exactly. Yeah.
In the news.
Well, Russia looked over at the USA and there are strange rules about trying to ban TikTok that are all over the place and said, wait, hold my vodka.
Nyet.
So, yes, they are trying to ban government employees from using Apple devices for official state use, according to the Financial Times. As of Monday, the country's trade ministry will prohibit the use of iPhones for all work purposes. Other agencies, including Russia's telecommunications and mass media ministry, love that they call it a ministry, either have similar mandates already in place or plan to begin enforcing one soon. Apple did not respond to any requests for comment. But basically, yeah, they're just saying, we believe that the U.S. has put spying devices on all of our Apple products. Okay.
Comrade, you must now have green bubble. Sorry.
Yes. Apparently, they will allow people to green bubble. the red revolution to the green bubble. That's how well it's going over there.
That's how it is, yep.
Yep. So, yeah, they're basically saying, you know, you can use it for personal purposes, but no more work. Okay.
Mm.
There you go.
Yeah, I wonder how that BYOD policy is going to go at the Kremlin.
I can't wait for the knockoff Apple products that they'll start rolling out, like the fake McDonald's that they had to do.
Great.
Delicious. Biggie Mackey.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, Grimace is red over there. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Another little bit of fantastic news, though. Tesla directors have been ordered to pay $735 million back to the company because they kind of dipped into the coffers a little too deep.
As far as I can tell, this is the only thing that they have ever done. They certainly aren't putting any guardrails on Elon.
No. I didn't even know Larry Ellison was on the board until I read this. That's how much I know about the Tesla board.
Yeah.
So they're going to give that back and not take any pay for a couple of years to make up for it. But I mean, the real thing is we need to start looking for the lawsuits. We're going to get news out of this lawsuit that's going up against Elon right now because his paycheck is $56 billion. He can even buy another Twitter for that.
I was about to say, got to pay for Twitter somehow.
He's eyeing blue sky. You know, he can get a deal.
I think he's going to go for Mastodon. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, in other Tesla news, this one just, I mean, I banged my head into a wall 5 times when I read this.
I was screaming.
Tesla plans to license its full self-driving system to other automakers. Yes, that full self-driving system that is not a full self-driving system that is being investigated for being called a full self-driving system and that causes crashes. Now available in your BMW.
Yep, exactly.
Thanks. I really do hope that other auto and car manufacturers are kind of looking at this and going, pass.
Thanks, yeah, hard pass.
Hard pass on this. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, we're going to stick with LiDAR. Thank you very much, Elon.
Death as a service.
That's kind of it.
Yeah.
Yes. And they do have a new investigation over a fatal fetal crash. Unfortunately, a young child, a 3-month-old child, was killed in another incident involving their quote unquote full fucking self-driving system back in Tahoe. So, yeah, great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then from my, from my internet's gonna internet file, an email typo has reportedly sent millions of U.S. military messages to Mali because there's .ml for Mali and .mil for the military, mm-hmm. and people are typing it incorrectly. Seems to me this is a pretty simple fix.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody just needs to get a copy of Text Expander for everybody in the military.
Or you simply set your mail exchange to automatically forward it to .mil instead of .ml. This mm-hmm. can be done pretty quickly, but apparently nobody's gotten on that. And there are hundreds of thousands of emails, some of which, none of them were marked classified, but still contained sensitive data about U.S. military personnel, contractors, and families. Exposed information from these missent emails includes maps of installations. I already got that from TikTok. Photos of bases.
Strava.
Got that as well. Identity documents on the dark web. And I've just gotten super froggy. California dust, man.
Yeah.
So, they are, I guess, now going to look at this because enough people have screamed about it and try to figure out something to do. See previous comments. We solved it for you already.
And this is also the Department of Defense. Can't we just take over Mali? It would be cheaper.
Actually, you're right. Just from a budgetary perspective, we should just take them over.
We know how much it costs to get anything done with government IT. It would probably be faster to just send a few missiles and a submarine or two and say, ours.
You're ours now. Thank you for your domain.
Yes. Thank you for shopping. And this was an interesting lawsuit that came out. Photographers Alex Hunley and Matthew Brower tried to sue Instagram because they posted some of their photographs on Instagram, mm-hmm. And then news outlets, Time and BuzzFeed, took those photographs and embedded mm-hmm. them into a news story.
Yes, and they this said, is the Pinterestification.
Well, here's the thing. They're saying, no, you can't do that. Those are our photographs. They're showing up on these stories. Well, that's a feature, not a bug, because you allow people to embed your post.
Most people are happy about it because they are getting the quote-unquote exposure.
Exposure, yes. These guys were not happy with the exposure, so they sued Instagram. And the court said, no, it is a feature and not a bug. Dumbass.
See, now, again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just married to one. But wouldn't you want to go after BuzzFeed and Time, the people that actually appropriated your images, not the service that allowed them to do so that you also use?
They may have done that as well. I didn't care enough to give the very best.
Fair enough.
But it comes down. I mean, the more interesting part is definitely the Instagram side of it, because they allowed it to happen because that is a feature, not a bug. Yes. Because the photographs never left Instagram servers because it was an embed. So here's the shocking revelation, kids. If you have photographs that you may someday want to sell to a news organization, don't post them for free on the fucking internet. Just saying. True. Just saying.
It does beg the question how they would find the photos to want to purchase them, but, you know.
There are agencies specifically designed for press people to sell photographs to news agencies.
Well, there you go.
You know, there are avenues one could take, you know, the tried and true methods that photojournalists have over the decades sold their images to news organizations as freelancers. But hey, what do I know? I just work here.
We just tell everybody exactly what happens here.
Yeah,
that's all. MetaThreads app is coming back down to earth after a blockbuster first week that saw the app becoming the fastest growing of all time. This headline reminded me of my favorite story we've ever done, which is when CBS launched their brand new app and said that they had the best download numbers ever.
CBS All Access. Thank you, baby. The best ever.
One of my favorite things we've ever done on this show. Yeah. Yep. Well, unsurprisingly, after it first launched, the traffic is not as high. Because people have looked at it and signed up to it and went, meh.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people out there are like me. It's just fatigue. It's fatigue over social media networks. I see a lot of posts about, like, I can't believe I have to be on another one. And that's kind of where it's at.
People are realizing, oh, wait, I don't have to be on another one.
Yeah, I can go read a book. Really. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got all three. I've got Blue Sky, I've got Twitter, I've got Threads in a line in a folder called Waste of Time, and I hardly ever launch them anymore on my phone. So market intelligence firm Sensor Tower reported a similar decline in engagement, writing in a report that the app has experienced a double-digit decline in daily active users and user engagement since launch. Of course, they point out this is expected. Duh.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. The thing that infuriated me about this article, here's the sentence. At the same time, the app is missing a lot of basic features, including a non-algorithmic feed not easily dominated by brands and influencers. I consider that the major feature.
That would be the only feature as far as I'm concerned.
I hope that does not change.
I've got mute fatigue. I'm like, okay, mute. And then I'm like, you know what? I don't have to look at this because everybody's just cross-posting shit anyway. And also, everybody's finding out that the people that they follow on Instagram, they like the pretty pictures that people post. They don't follow them for words.
You looked really nice in a bikini. Oh, you like Trump.
And salad. Thank you for telling me all about your salad. Great.
Yeah.
I went back to Twitter just so I can post boot up episodes because I pay for fucking Blue. I'm going to get something out of it.
Yeah.
Using it. That's literally all I'm using Twitter for, is to post links to boot up every week. I do the same on Threads. I pop in there and I'm like, okay, yep, nothing different here. Then I pop over to Blue Sky, spam that. Then I pop over to LinkedIn, spam that. Then I go about my day because I got other shit to do. And
chase those elusive eyeballs,
chasing those downloads, baby. Give me them clicks. Mm-hmm. Give me them clicks. But here's the upside of Threads. Mm-hmm. And in the pot kettle blackest thing I've ever heard in my life, Threads had to actually rate limit themselves because of the spam bots.
Oops.
And you know, of course, Elon had to jump in on it. And he didn't use a poop emoji, which I thought was pretty good.
I must have missed that one. Otherwise, I would have responded with the poop emoji. Still going strong with that one. But I hardly ever log on, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So they had to start rate limiting as well. Which, I mean, because the irony is that the Threads launched early because Twitter had imposed rate limits and they saw that as a market opportunity to say, hey, come be with us because, you know, we don't have rate limits. Well, that didn't, that, you know.
We do now. It's a feature.
Yeah.
We're rolling out all the new features, like getting rid of the normal timeline and adding rate limits and being just like everybody else.
Media Candy.
So, Brian, this week I was bored and I was just flipping through Netflix late.
That's why you started a brand new podcast again.
Yeah. Yeah, this was at night. I get bored at night. I can't do anything at night. I start the podcast at 4 a.m.
You got boot up and then you've got to do lay down the nighttime
show.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Boot up and shut down. That's it. or just sleep. Try sleep. So I was just flipping through and I found Inside Man. And I saw it was a 4-part series and it had David Tennant, who I, you know, as you gush on the show, I'm a David Tennant fan. And Stanley Tucci, who I'm also a huge fan of. Mm. And I saw that it was only also 4 parts. So I'm like, okay, I can do that. And so I started watching it. And 10 minutes in, I'm like, oh, shit, there goes my night. And I stayed up and binged the entire 4 hours and went to bed at 2 a.m.
You have zero self-control, my friend.
I know I do. I know. Hey, I don't have alcohol anymore, but I'm still an alcoholic. I need something to fill that gap in my soul. So Inside Man turned out to be it. I thought it was fantastic. Not uplifting in any way, shape, or form, but I thought it was fascinating. So,
all right.
Yeah. You probably would hate it, but hey, that's me.
We'll see. Now, I know what you're about to go into. Please don't spoil it. I was unable to watch last night.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything about it. My title here in the show notes for you is exactly all I'm going to say. And I said, Star Trek Strange New Worlds is still amazing. It's still killing it. So.
It's so good. It is just so good. I can't wait to watch. I'm actually, it's going to be a late night for me because we're taking the kid to Universal today. So I'm not going to be able to watch until we get home. Oh, it's driving me nuts. Mm-mm. Oh, well. I was bored earlier this week, though. And thank you, Writer's Strike and Actors Guild Strike. There's not a lot of new fresh content out there. There's no fresh talent, Jason.
No fresh talent.
So I watched, because I'd heard from many people that it was actually surprisingly good, I watched Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves.
And?
With 2 glasses of wine, it was thoroughly enjoyable.
Okay. How about sober? Because I can't do the 2 glasses of wine. Do you think it'll hold up sober?
I think I do, because the acting, they've got really good actors. They have Captain Kirk, you know. They've got the chick from the Fast and the Furious 7000 movies, Michelle Rodriguez. It was funny. It was clever. It didn't, I mean, obviously, if you were super into Dungeons and Dragons, from what I've heard, they have a lot of like little inside jokes about that sort of thing. But just as a straight up kind of fun fantasy movie, it was really enjoyable.
Awesome. I will
check it out. A
little
bit too long, like most things are these days, but enjoyable.
Oh, yeah. What is it with this thing? It's like minimum now is 2.5 hours.
I know. Can't we just have 1:50 again?
Yeah. That's or like even 1:30. I like 91 minutes. I'm down with 91 minutes.
You can cut some of that fat, people.
But I'll watch a 4-hour miniseries without blinking an eye.
And that's why the movies are getting longer, Jason. That's why the movies are getting longer.
I guess. They just need to break them into parts and I'm set.
Well, the FIFA's Women's World Cup 2023 edition started yesterday. If you're curious as to how to find it and stream it, we have a link in the show notes that basically says where it is for wherever you're at. It is in Australia and New Zealand, and they are attempting to try to put the major games at decent time slots where it's possible to watch here, but a lot of the games you'll be up at 3 a.m. So,
yeah.
or at least I will be. I actually really do enjoy the Women's World Cup. I'm a huge soccer fan to begin with. I love international soccer in particular. The Men's World Cup is like my four-year vacation. But I actually find the Women's World Cup is a bit more exciting because you don't really know what's going to happen. It's not as solid as like the Men's World Cup where, there are 10 teams. One of those 10 teams is going to win it because they're the best teams in the world. And the other teams are just, trying to get to the next round. There's that a little bit with the women's because there's funded teams and there are unfunded teams, but it can be chaotic. You don't know who's going to win every game. It's not a sure thing, which is pretty exciting. So,
all right.
Also, if you get a chance to watch Norway versus Sweden, oh my God. Oh my God.
All right.
Anyways, Netflix added nearly 6 million new subscribers amid password sharing crackdown. So it's paying off. Substantial growth in subscribers in the months following its push to stop users from sharing accounts with people outside of their household increased by 8% during the second quarter of 2023. So the tightened restrictions are working for Netflix.
They're working so well that they're killing off the cheaper tiers now, cheaper ad-supported tiers, because they found that they can make more money on the ad-supported tiers. So they're saying, hey, this is great for everybody, except everybody.
Yeah, we're just becoming a regular network with ads now, except you're paying for it. Also, I'm not sure I would be doing this tact right now when your fresh talent is about to run out.
Yeah,
there's going to be new shows to promote and to keep things going and to keep people's interest.
Well, they might want to tell that to Peacock and YouTube as well, because both of them also raised prices this week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Peacock went up a little bit here and there, and YouTube Premium went up by $2 a month. This is their first price increase since 2018. Right. But the great thing about it is, so it's going up by $2 a month, but what it forced me to do, and they even sent me an email to the gist of this, it said, hey, you're paying through Apple Pay. If you cancel on Apple Pay and just come to YouTube, you'll actually still be saving money even with the price increase. And I'm like,
right,
that's a very good idea. I'll do that. Thank you very much. So
that is a good point.
Yeah. So don't pay through Apple Pay is the goal, because it'll be up to almost $20 a month then. And I'm like, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it for that. It ain't worth it for $13.99 a month. But hey, you're stuck with some things,
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody's jacking up the prices. So I guess we'll see. Because Paramount
also interesting timing. Interesting timing to jack up prices when you're in the middle of a negotiation trying to claim that you can't afford to pay anybody anything.
Mm hmm.
Oh,
well, I mean,
so
this, that could be
money.
The tactic. That could be the tactic that we need to raise prices so we can pay the actors and writers more money because they're the bad guys.
Yeah, could be.
No, Universal just has to pay for the tree trimmers to cut down all the trees on the picket lines.
Oh, my God. I saw that. That was insane. The city's now investigating because the city is like, those are city trees. You're not supposed to touch them.
Yeah. And Universal has done it. They said for 3 years in a row, which sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you saw yesterday. Universal is now supplying them with tents. Nope. They're covering the
to live in since they don't pay them a livable wage.
That's it. During the day, it's for shade. At night, it is for shelter. That's how it works.
You just camp out right here, and then you can walk into the writer's room in the morning, collect your pennies, and then go back to your tent. It's very convenient.
Tent.
You don't have to do the LA commute. I mean, it's a win-win.
Everyone needs a world-class VPN. Grumpy Old Geeks recommends private internet access to protect your online privacy and identity. Private internet access never keeps any records of their users' online activities, so you can be assured that you have complete privacy and nobody knows what you're doing online. No matter your technical skills, private internet access is one of the easiest VPN apps out there. All it takes to connect is just one click or tap, and your data will be encrypted instantly. With just one private internet access VPN subscription, you can connect up to 10 devices at the same time. Go to gog.show/VPN and sign up today. For a limited time only, you can get our favorite VPN for just $2.69 a month when you sign up for 2 years. gog.show/VPN. That's gog.show/VPN. Are you hungry? I am. Which means it's a perfect time to talk about Factor. Why not make your spring a breeze with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals? Picture this. Every meal is fresh, never frozen, crafted by top chefs, and has the dietitian's thumbs up. Plus, they're ready to roll in just 2 minutes. You've got 35 mouthwatering options to choose from each week. Whether you're into calorie smart, keto, ramping up your protein, or keeping it green with vegan and veggie, Factor's got you covered. And there's more. Each week brings over 60 extras, including breakfast, grab-and-go lunches, snacks, and drinks to keep your energy up and your taste buds happy all day. So, what's the holdup? Dive in today and give your spring the tasty kickstart it deserves. As someone who's lived off microwave meals for most of his life, I can confidently say that Factor's chef-crafted dishes blow anything else I've had out of the water. The chicken stays juicy, the veggies are crisp, and the flavors are absolutely delicious. I'm talking about meals like their artichoke and spinach chicken and the spicy poblano beef bowl. Out of this world. Are you craving a touch of gourmet? Well, check out the meals featuring luxury ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. It's fancy dining without the fuss. And speaking of no fuss, the meals are a total breeze. Forget about prepping, cooking, and cleaning. Just heat up your meal and enjoy the deliciousness. Plus, everything's tailored to fit your life. Customize your weekly meal plan to get exactly what you need whenever you need it. Need to pause or shift your deliveries? No problem. It's all designed to work around your schedule. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/grumpy50 and use code grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code grumpy50 at factormeals.com/grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. On this show, we often discuss the vast amount of personal info floating around out there. We're talking home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. If you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're definitely not alone. That's why I need to tell you about Delete Me. It's been a game changer for me in protecting my personal information. As someone who's been bombarded with spam calls and phishing attempts, discovering Delete Me was like finding a magic shield. Here's a really frustrating fact. The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. With rising political tensions, your political views could expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence. Angry people, fueled by their beliefs, can access your data from data brokers that cover 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment, identity theft, or worse. But there's good news. Delete Me works tirelessly to safeguard your data. They scour the internet, finding and removing your personal information from some of the largest data brokers in the world. And they don't just do it once. They continuously monitor to ensure your info stays private. I signed up and provided details on what I wanted removed, and the team at Delete Me took it from there. They keep me updated with regular reports, showing me where my information was popping up and confirming when it was deleted. Seeing their commitment to protecting my privacy has truly been a relief. Now, here's something special for all of you. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get that 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and enter code GOG at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout. This episode is sponsored by Mood. 420 celebrations come in all shapes and sizes, just like the many ways to enjoy your THC. Mood offers just the right buzz with their federally legal flower, gummies, vapes, and more, helping you find the perfect high. Mood is offering our listeners a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just head over to hellomood.com and use our exclusive code GOG. Mood's latest introduction, the THCA flower, is a game changer, offering the classic cannabis high with a twist. With 10 high-inducing strains, it's their most potent lineup yet. What's even better is that all Mood products are extracted from hemp, making them federally legal, and are regularly tested to ensure the highest quality. Sourced from small family farms, you're getting a product that's effective and pesticide-free. I tried several of their products, from the uplifting Energized to the mellow Chill, and I must say, each provided a unique, enjoyable high. My favorite? Definitely the Creative strain. It sparked an incredible flow of ideas and got me through my daily projects with ease. Whether you're new to THC or a seasoned aficionado, Mood has something for every vibe. Their in-house experts have tailored different strains to match specific moods, offering a range of products to suit any preference. From delectable gummies to classic flower and convenient pre-rolls, there's a multitude of ways to enjoy Mood's offerings. Celebrate 420 exactly how you want to with Mood. Get 20% off your first order, plus a free THCA pre-roll at hellomood.com with promo code GOG. That's hellomood.com. Code GOG.
Ups and doodads.
I've never been a big Reddit fan. I'm on it, but I've never been part of the community. But veteran Reddit users have another thing coming after Reddit vowed to remove its famous gold awarding system. So famous, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, what's social that? Media.
The social media platform, which has been headed straight into the ground these past few weeks, has now nuked every direct message you've sent or received before 2023. Did they nuke them, or did they just hand them over to Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, they claimed some sort of update and meant that they couldn't port a bunch of old messages. And people are obviously very upset about this because some people have claimed they've lost 7 years of chats, while another posted about how they met their wife on Reddit and can no longer read their first exchanges and their early sexting.
Yeah. Okay.
But everybody else can. Now, apparently you can write Reddit and they are able to pull this data and send it to you in a Word document.
Okay.
So there you go. So all is not lost, Redditors. You will be okay.
Wow. Talk about what the fuckitude.
Yeah. I mean, it's a misstep on their part for sure. Like, how do you do that? How do you not see that coming, and how do you not make people aware of it, which is the other real issue, because apparently it was just like posted in a subreddit at some point by some Reddit administrator saying, oh, by the way, we're migrating to a new platform and you're going to lose all your messages. And nobody really saw it. So awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was anybody paying for this feature? Because if not, tough titty.
Good point.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, if you're not paying for it, how can you expect them to be there tomorrow? Just saying. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying everything we've said for 10 fucking years.
I actually got a new bit of equipment, Jason. Amazon Prime Day was, 2 weeks ago or a week ago now, something like that. The new Apple Watch Series 8 pricing was stunningly low on Amazon, so I got one because I had an old like 3, I think, or something.
Oh, jeez.
Like maybe it was a 5. I can't remember what it was. So I got the new one. Bigger watch face. That is literally the only thing I've noticed about it, because I don't really use period tracking.
Okay. Good.
I mean, I suppose it's got the fall sensor now, and it's got a bunch of other health features that I haven't really explored. I don't wear the watch when I'm in bed. That's when I charge it. So the sleep functionality that they've added didn't really do much for me.
Yeah.
But it's shiny and new, Jason. I like shiny and new sometimes.
The thing is, I've got a Series 6, and the guts of your 8 are exactly the same as my Series 6. So they haven't updated the hardware in quite some time. So that's why I've stuck with my 6 for so long. I hear they might be changing it with 9. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm just waiting for the next update. I'm actually waiting for the next, Ultras or whatever, the new fancy-pantsy big ding-dong ones.
Yes, because of all the extreme sports you do, Jason.
Exactly. Isn't that great? the battery is dying on mine, and I like the look of the new one, so I'm waiting for that thing to come
out. They're very pricey, the Ultras. That is an investment. Oh, yeah?
my current Apple Watch just, for some reason, decided to tell me that when it heard that I said the battery was dying more, it was like, no, it's not. It literally was just like... It just yelled at me. So maybe it is time to get rid of you.
Maybe.
This creepy little fucker. Oh, man. Well, congratulations on your new bit of gear.
Yeah, barely notice it.
Yep.
On the plus side, though, all my old bands still fit on it, even though it's a bigger watch face, which is great.
Yeah, those bands have never changed. They've never changed.
Really good. It's good that they do that.
Yeah, wait till the next version when it's all going to be USB-C. I saw this story and I just had to laugh. Photographer uses Adobe Firefly to fake vacation photos and fool his friends.
Okay.
This guy just created a whole vacation out of whole cloth and posted it on Instagram. And one person was called bullshit on it. But to be honest, the photos actually looked pretty good. I gotta give him credit. Now, they did a pretty good job.
I would say maybe 5% he did such a good job faking it. 95% nobody cared.
That's true, because nobody cares about your vacation.
Exactly.
Everybody hates your vacation, as a matter of
fact. Oh,
you
went on vacation. Scroll, scroll, scroll.
Yeah, yeah. Swipe, 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 swipe. Done. Okay. You back? Okay, let's go get a beer. Okay. Where did you go? Oh, I don't care. Doesn't matter. I think the one that was really the best one was the one where he looked miserable at the airport.
Well, true to life.
That's about it. Yeah, I'm like, okay, you know, context worked. Everything was fine. It's good. Mm-hmm. Just a fun story. So this other story is just a head scratcher. Elusive first gen 4 GB iPhone auctioned for a record $190,373. I still have my iPhone 1 and I would sell it for $190.
I don't get that. Yeah, it doesn't even show up on my Apple Exchange options.
I know. So I can't even trade it in. Oh, what the hell? Apparently, this was a very rare 4 GB version because they were only out for a little bit, for 2 months.
It had the Unforgettable Fire by U2 placed on it.
It's still there. Can't get rid of it. The only thing that still works on that phone. So people just have way too much money. And I hope he just smashes it and turns it into an NFT, which would be perfect.
You're listening, Melania?
Yeah. Oh, wait, so she doesn't have any money because nobody's buying her NFTs. Okay. And I do have one little bit of 1Password news. I have decided to finally bite the bullet, and I started converting all of my 2-factor auth websites. Instead of using external authenticator apps, I switched them over to use 1Password's internal 2-factor authentication app. So much nicer.
Oh, God. So much nicer. I'm going to have to do this then, aren't I?
Oh, God. I don't have to pull my phone out anymore when I'm logging into a website on my laptop. It's
That's
great.
Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. It is so much nicer. GOG.show/1Password if you want to get a deal on 1Password. Go check it out. The
Best
the link
password
is in the
manager
show
I've ever used.
Hands down. Hands down. And you know, there's one thing, Brian, that I've noticed about 1Password in all the years we've been covering tech news. We've never covered a breach of 1Password.
That's a
Ever.
Good point. Yeah.
LastPass, how many times have we covered LastPass breaches?
Oh, that's weekly.
Yeah, exactly. there are other ones, too. 1Password, knock on wood. We don't need another David Bowie incident here.
Guess what's happening next week.
I knocked on the wood. Here we go. Where's some wood? Here we go. Knocked. 1Password will still be fine next week. Please. Please, please. GOG.show/1Password for a deal. But I got to say, it is so much nicer having all of that 2-factor shit in one place. Except for YouTube, which still makes you, or Google still makes you log in with a fucking YouTube thing. Oh, one.
Apparently
listener,
you can fix that. Somebody wrote in and said we're idiots. Yeah. Because there's some obscure setting that involves runes and chanting that makes it happen.
No, what it is you can have it text you instead of having to open the app. You can say use other methods. It's still got to use it. Well, unless you have set up on your Mac to get it to your messages app. But it's still a fucking obnoxious way to do it.
Yes. Yes, it is.
The Dark Side. Ha! With Dave.
Welcome to The Dark Side with Dave, with podcast superhost Dave Bittner. Dave is the host of the Cyberwire podcast for all your cybersecurity news, the co-host of Hacking Humans with Joe Kerrigan, discussing how humans are mean, the co-host of Caveat with Ben Yellen, because people are nosy, and the host of Control Loop, because industrial machines have feelings, too. Hello, Dave.
Hello. Good
How's
to be back.
How's the COVID?
I think it's gone. I'd say I'm back to feeling like myself. The past couple days here, I have not noticed my health, which is the best thing I can say, you know.
That's always perfect. The good thing about health, not right. thinking yes. about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, I think I'm back in good shape here, and I wish to never have it again.
Yeah. Yeah, you sounded rough last week, and you've got that pep in your voice back.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I was tired. Yeah, really, the fatigue is a real thing with COVID, so... Happy to be back. Brian, I'm eager to hear about your Disneyland trip. How did it go?
It was awesome.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We got the park hopper pass, so we started the day off at California Adventure is what they call it here. Had a good time over there. All the Pixar rides were big hits with the age group of the kids that we were with.
Yeah.
So they had a blast. And then we went over to the main park itself in the afternoon. It has been so hot here that the park was surprisingly empty.
Oh, and wow.
It was wonderful. I mean, there were lots of people around, but lines for rides were pretty short, except for, you know, the big ones that you would expect. They always have a long line. Interestingly enough, we were there the day that they were doing the Haunted Mansion premiere from Disneyland for the movie. Now, because of the writer's strike and the actor's strike, I think it kind of foiled their plans because none of the actors attended. So they had to pivot at the last minute. And what they did, and this was this worked out perfectly for my son because my son likes villains. He likes the bad guys and everything. So they pivoted by having the Disney cast, who are not members of SAG-AFTRA, show up. They had all the bad guys from every movie there. So Cruella de Vil, Maleficent, all of them. And they were, because they had to come in for the premiere anyways, they worked a full day. So they walked around the park. So my kid got to meet all the villains, and he was absolutely thrilled about all that. So nice. It was a very interesting, fun day, as always. I mean, at the end of the day, and I was talking about this with some people last night, he's one of the lawyers at Shopify, and we were talking stock prices and all this other stuff. And I was like, I'm constantly confounded as to how Disney stock price is down, because not only is their streaming network like perfect for people that have kids and you are locked and loaded and you are going to pay that whatever they charge you, you're going to pay for a good 10 to 15 years of your life if you have a kid. And the parks are just, I mean, I know they're exorbitantly expensive, but my God, do they do it right compared to everybody else? I mean, it is a flawless experience.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. The one I wonder, did you all ride the Incredicoaster over at California Adventure?
My kid freaked out at the last minute and was not going to do that. So I did not get to ride it. But half of our group did. One of our COVID bubble friends, their daughter is like, she's going to be a handful. She is a daredevil. She will do everything. So,
The thing I love about that ride is how they integrate the soundtrack from The Incredibles, which I think is one of the great movie soundtracks ever.
Oh, it's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you have speakers built into the headrest of the coaster, and it just works. It's really well done. And it's a fun coaster anyway, but having that music along with it just takes it to another level.
Yeah, it was a good time all around, and I'm hoping, you know, we're dipping his toes into the roller coasters with the more kiddie ones, and we took him on Pirates of the Caribbean with the drop and all that, so he's starting to get into it. But speaking of Pirates of the Caribbean, I have not ridden that ride in many, many years. The addition of the Johnny Depp character into popping up here and there is jarring, but I mean, I get it.
Yes. Yeah. And you no longer, buy a bride.
Oh yes. The wenches thing is gone, long gone. It's always the women chasing the men, but it's like they're carrying like a cupcake and she's got a roller because, you know, he stole a cupcake because that's what pirates do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But still with the group that we were with, they hadn't ridden the ride in many, many years either. And certainly it was the first time taking their kids on the ride as well. And the wife looked over at me and was like, I don't remember this being so dark. I'm like, well, they actually cleaned it up a bit, but it's still pretty dark. It's gun shooting and jail and
Right.
Yep.
Well, good.
It's about pirates. Come on.
Yes, it's about pirates. It does what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
It's also that era. I think we talked about when I got back from my big Disney trip earlier this year, how we went in the Country Bear Jamboree and were left with our jaws on the floor because of how borderline weird and racist. Dark it is. Well, yes, but just dark. There's this whole – one of the bears sings this song about like blood everywhere. He's like, blood on the horse, blood on the ground, blood on the saddle. We're like, we're all looking at each other going, what is going on? How did this get approved?
And as kids, when we saw it, we didn't bat an eye. But now as seeing it through the eyes of an adult with a kid, you're like, what is – how is he still here?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I'm glad you had a great time. I was thinking about you all, and that's perfect to have to end up being there on a light day. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, it was really fantastic. So wonderful time.
Yep. I'm just wondering why did they call it California Adventure when it's in California? Shouldn't it just be called Adventure?
Well, that's a fair question.
It's a fair question, but obviously they are mostly catering towards people that are not from California that are coming out to visit. So I guess the theory is, why don't you just come to our park and give us $1,000 instead of actually going to San Francisco or driving around California?
Yeah.
Right.
And stay out of Compton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, right. Compton land is a bit scary. Talk about dark. No.
Well, I think, you know, similarly with Epcot, it's like, well, I've never been to France, but I've been to Epcot. So that's pretty much the same thing.
It's
right?
close. Yeah. they were rude and sent and sold me an $8 croissant. Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. So a little bit of cybersecurity news here just for the giggles.
Do we have to?
This one's kind of funny. Come on. We're going to be getting a new labeling system for our IoT device. It's called the Cyber Trust Mark. Mm-hmm. And it comes with a QR code because that's going to keep us protected.
Yeah.
Yeah, this seems kind of like security theater to me. It's you're going to have your devices verified, and you're going to have to meet certain standards that are going to be tested by third-party labs. But there are so many IoT devices out there and all of this stuff nowadays that is this even going to matter, do you guys think?
Well,
in a world in which we have a label saying, please do not eat the silicone packaging or do not drink the gasoline – what's one more label?
I saw somebody posted to our Discord. It said, you know, stripe towards card holder. And then underneath it, it said, you are the card holder.
Right.
This is the world we're in now, right? Mm-hmm. Like everything is labeled beyond all. Well, I mean, obviously, there's a reason those labels are there because people are dumb.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't have a problem with this. It's to your point, there's so many things out there now. This department is going to have to staff up big time. I think we're all going to be employed by them at some point.
I think every label tells a story. And to me, this is the cybersecurity version of the Energy Star label.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So it's not going to change the world. But it's not bad that it's there. It's voluntary, by the way. There's no regulatory backup for this. So you know, organizations do this on their own accord in order to get the label. And so I think they see it as being perhaps a competitive advantage if you're, you know, cruising the aisles at Best Buy or scrolling through Amazon and you see some things have the label and some don't. Then maybe there's
buy the one that
there.
Has it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's good. It'll be interesting to see what they do in terms of enforcement because I can see everybody on Amazon just slapping the label on there whether they actually have it or not. So that could be a problem. It's interesting to me that this is being headed up by the FCC. I'm not quite sure what to make of this. I actually have a call next week with someone from the White House about this very issue.
Fancy.
I know, right? And
wear your stormtrooper helmet, please.
I mean, Kamala's not doing much, so yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I said when they said someone from the White House wants to come on to talk about this, I said if it's not Biden, I don't want to talk to them. And no, it's not Biden, and I'm going to talk to them. So,
right. But, yeah, I don't know why the FCC is doing it either. So I hope you bring an answer to the table next week.
Yeah, I don't know, and it could be that they have more. regulatory enforcement. Maybe they have less on their plate. I don't know.
Is it more time on their hands?
Right, exactly. I don't know, but it is a question I'm planning on asking. So, but okay. I think this is overall a good thing. It doesn't require a lot of effort. It's good to bring attention to this sort of thing, even to get people in a mindset that they should be comparison shopping these things and that security is something to be top of mind. It's all good. Not going to change the world, but
it's not going to hurt.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. And that's the high bar we've set for ourselves these days.
We're going to spend millions of taxpayer dollars on something that ain't going to hurt.
Right. If we're lucky, we'll come out the same as we did when we went in.
Exactly.
That's all we can hope for nowadays. It's all we can hope for.
Maybe Jason would have ended up with less Chinese security cameras had this been around earlier. This is the theory.
That's right.
That's no, right. I was still broke. I was going to get what I got. That's it. Yeah. No, I do like the fact that they will require strong default passwords. That'll be nice. Mm-hmm. What would be better is, they don't specifically say that they're going to require, automatic software updates, but that would be the best thing. If cameras required automatic software updates, come on, that would be fantastic. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's just a thing. It's a new thing. Thought I'd bring it up. Something for us to poop on.
I suspect then it'll eventually just fade into the background the same way that Energy Star does. You don't think about it. And if you buy any device that isn't from Apple, chances are it has one of these stickers on it.
When you go to Best Buy and there's just the annoying strip of labels that you pull off of things when you purchase them.
Exactly. It'll be just one
and
more.
And for 5 seconds, sticker. You feel good about yourself for having made the decision to buy something that has Energy Star on it. And you think, I'm saving the world. And then you move on with your life.
Yeah, is this well listed?
Depending on where they put the labels, we might see an uptick in people buying Gooby Gone. So I'll buy some stock in that company.
There you go.
Right. So some sad news this week. Saw the announcement that earlier this week Kevin Mitnick died. And Kevin was perhaps the most famous hacker in the world. Certainly from a certain folks who are of a certain age, Kevin was probably the most well-known hacker that I can think of. Started out as a phone freaker. He was very much into ham radio. So sort of came up with that first generation, that first wave of folks who were using the telephone system and modems and that sort of thing to break into other people's systems. Mm-hmm. He got caught. He did time. Mm-hmm. And eventually got out of jail, turned his life around, became a security consultant, had an ownership interest in KnowBe4, evidently passed this week from pancreatic cancer. So very sad to hear that.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was when I was a kid, but to circle back to Disneyland again, I certainly benefited from some of his work. Phone freaking was something that we all did at Disneyland because they used to have banks of payphones, and we'd learned the codes to make like free phone calls or to set the phone to start ringing in 5 minutes, all of that sort of stuff. That was how we spent our time in Disneyland as young kids. So thank you, Kevin, for that. It was fun.
Yeah, I can't say I knew him very well. I met him a few times. I interviewed him a few times. And he's one of those folks where, like, if we cross paths at trade shows or something, we would stop and say hello and just, sort of a, polite, how are you, that sort of thing. Never mm-hmm. really. I can't say he was a friend, but he was an acquaintance. I'm actually looking right now. He was – one of the things he was famous for was his business cards.
Yep.
And I'm holding one right now, which was
– I never got one. Damn.
I think he was the first person to do the lockpicking business card. So his business card is made out of metal, and it's been die cut, stamped to have lockpicking tools be part of it. I don't know if he was the original. I suspect, Kevin got one of the accusations that people often made about Kevin was that he was mostly a social engineer and that perhaps his technical skills were not so great. So he was often accused of kind of riding on the shoulders of others.
That's because geeks are catty.
Well, you know what? So I was thinking about this week. And one of the things it reminds me of is the way I've heard jazz musicians talk about pop stars.
Yeah.
which is sort of – they resent them for their popularity.
There's some jealousy, yes.
There's some jealousy. But what you'll hear them – what you hear the jazz people say about the pop stars is, well, they can't play, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who I went to high school with who's a professional jazz musician, and I remember talking to him once about Duran Duran. He's like, yeah, they're, you know, none of those guys can play. And I said, well, you know what?
They can actually play melodies that people like more than yours.
Exactly. I said, think about all the people who have danced to their music, who have fallen in love, who have, you know, used their music to comfort them when they lost a loved one or whatever. Just like they have this tremendous amount of influence, and can't we be just okay with that?
Yeah.
And
look, if it's sexy time, I'm putting on My Chauffeur by Duran Duran, not Freeform Jazz.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
There you go. So I'm not sure if Kevin Mitnick was the first one to do this sort of business card. I wonder if he was following the footsteps of Woz, who famously had a metal business card that I believe had a serrated edge on one side of it. And he would famously, because it was a business card, he could take it onto flights where knives were prohibited. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, I guess Woz always flew first class, he would be served things like steaks. And he would take out his business card and use it to cut the steak rather than have to use the plastic knife that they gave you on the plane. So, you know, Woz was famously subversive. And I wonder if Kevin got the idea from that or not. Regardless, it's a nice little keepsake, and I'm glad that I have it. And you know, I don't lots of people have lots of bad things to say about Kevin. I'll use the cliche that he was always nice to me, and every interaction I had with him was pleasant. He struck me as one of those folks who was kind of larger than life when he was on stage, but one on one, he was much quieter and introspective and more of an introvert, which I think it's not that unusual for folks in his position. So
yeah,
sad to see him go.
Yep. My I never got to meet the guy, but I was introduced to him during the Free Kevin movement because his webmistress at the time worked with me, and I ended up dating her for a while. Brian, you met her. We went to the Goo Goo Dolls together.
Okay.
and Carrie Zero was her name back then. And she turned me on to Freedom Downtime, which is a great documentary about when Kevin was in jail. It does not have the production value of a modern day movie. It's kind of a grassroots 2600 thing with Emmanuel Goldstein and the crew in there. So it's well worth watching. The whole thing's free on YouTube. I recommend checking it out.
Very cool.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good kind of summation of what was going on back then. It is definitely a one-sided point of view of the entire debacle. Yeah. But I never got his business card, but somewhere I've got some of the original Free Kevin stickers from.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because he was in jail when I was introduced to him.
Okay.
And they were trying to get him out. So, but it was a shocker. It was definitely a shocker when I saw that. And sadly, his wife is pregnant with their first kid, which is even really sad.
Yeah, really definitely.
Sad. Yeah. Continuing along the theme of death, Tony Bennett died.
You know, I was never really a big fan. I can't say I've never owned a Tony Bennett album. I've never sought out Tony Bennett. But when I woke up this morning and I saw the news, it made me inexplicably sad. It's just one of those things that have always been there. Like Tony Bennett has always existed as long as I've existed. And now he no longer exists, and that makes me sad somehow. I think I'm just starting to get old.
I mean, he was one of the few remaining living connections to that age, to the Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., that age. You know, a little younger than those folks, but certainly well-respected. I was a big fan of his as someone who studied vocal music and singing and all that kind of stuff. He was the real deal. And I included a link here to what I think is my favorite Tony Bennett song. It's his take on the song I Got Lost in His Arms. He does I Got Lost in Her Arms. It's from the musical Annie Get Your Gun, which was written by Irving Berlin. And this was an album that Tony recorded. I think he was around 60 when he recorded this. And to get in a little bit of the technical weeds here, his breath control in this song just floors me. I mean, I am in my 50s and I haven't been able to have this kind of breath control since I was probably in my 30s. So, and I'm not a professional singer. I'm not doing it every day. It's not the thing I make my living doing. So all that stuff applies to him. But what an artist. And just the technical chops that he had as well were impressive. It wasn't just a pretty face or a, you know, strong personality. The guy could really sing.
Well, I mean, he could still really sing in his 80s or however old he was when he did that stuff with Lady Gaga. I remember seeing, you know, the live performances and I was like, he could barely walk, but man, could he sing, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I saw him a few times. I think all the times I saw him were at Wolf Trap, which is a outdoor amphitheater here near where I live. It's run by the National Park Service. And something that he would do for all of his concerts was at the end of the show, he would have them turn off all of the amplification and he would sing America a cappella unmiked.
Nice.
And that's amazing.
The guy could still fill, you know, this is a 15,000 seat arena with 2/3 of that as lawn, you know, and he filled the place. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah,
I do remember his Amy Winehouse duet album, which was pretty – I thought that was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, I do totally forgot about that one. Yeah, that was good.
That was really good. And I do know some people that do know Tony and say had nothing but amazing things to say about him the entire time. They said that he was one of the most genuinely nice people in show business that they've ever known.
I met him once, and it was just a brief kind of thing. There used to be a music festival here called the HF Festival. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
There's a radio station here. Used to be a progressive station called WHFS, and they had a festival at a stadium. And right when Tony Bennett was making his comeback, suddenly found himself popular and interested in by the MTV generation. He made a surprise appearance at the HF Festival. And I happened to be – this is back in my TV days. I was doing a promotional video for the festival itself. So I was backstage and in comes Tony Bennett. And it was just like – I mean it was as if someone were doing the best Tony Bennett impersonation you could ever imagine, because he just comes in and he's just like, hey, how are you? Hey, great to see you. Hey there. You know, just like – and he made everybody in the room feel like they were the most important person in the room. There was no ego. There was – he was just accessible and friendly and a big smile and had time for everybody. So, you know, I got to say hello to him and shake his hand, and then he was gone. But it was a thrill and left feeling like not only is he super talented, but he seemed to be like one of the good guys.
Nice.
Yeah. I got myself a pair of AirPods Pro 2 on Prime Day. They were like $50 off, and the only AirPods I had were the original AirPods, and the batteries were failing in those, so I decided to live a little and bought myself a set of AirPods Pro 2. Mm-hmm. I have to say I love them. They are amazing. Do either one of you have any of these?
I have AirPod Pro 1s.
Yeah, I got the Pro 1s as well.
Okay, I've never tried the Pro ones, but the noise cancellation on these things is unbelievable. Like, I can be sitting on the couch and my wife can be watching TV. I don't hear the TV at all.
Right.
Yeah, it's unnerving. It's so good it's unnerving. I mean, even with the ones, it's kind of like weird.
Yeah. You know?
It's really weird.
Cars driving by, airplanes flying overhead. And I've had noise canceling headphones like the, you know, Bose and Sony and those sorts of things, which work great on an airplane, and that sort of thing. But this somehow is just the next level. The degree to which these adjust on the fly to all kinds of different things is, like you said, Jason, it's a little weird at first.
Yeah, and I've got the Bose QC35 2s. And those are really, really good as well, but they're just not as good as – even my AirPods Pro 1s are still better than that.
Yeah. Very impressed with the sound quality. They have way more low end than I thought they would have. So far so good. I'm very pleased. I'll include a link to an article here where folks are using them as hearing aids,
yeah,
which I think is really interesting.
Yeah. A lot
Apple
cheaper.
Has,
look better.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Apple has a lot of that functionality built in. When I got the AirPods, they scan your ears. You hold your phone up to your ear and it takes a picture of your ear and does something to adjust the AirPods to the shape of your ear. And evidently there's some tests you can take that'll also create kind of like your own EQ curve depending on how your hearing responds, which mm-hmm. is a hearing aid basically. So
yeah. pretty much. Yes.
You know, and I'm at the age where I know my hearing is not perfect anymore. So I suspect this might be something I'll play with. So yeah, really yeah. pleased.
I have to say, you know, Apple stayed off of Amazon forever and ever and ever, and I kind of understand why. I picked up a new Apple Watch. I upgraded my watch during Prime Day too because the deals were so good. Like,
yeah.
I'm not sure I would buy an Apple product anymore. I will wait for Prime Day and see what they've got, and if it's one of the things I want, that's what I'll buy because the deals were phenomenal.
Right. Right. Yeah. And Apple is not known for their deep discounts.
No. No. Right. Like,
they're the company who'll sell a 6-year-old Mac Pro for the same price they sold it at when it was introduced, you know.
The irony is they just got fined in Spain this week for the Amazon Apple deal for running the store, not letting in verified sellers
right.
onto the platform. So enjoy it while you can.
I will. I did.
Yeah, there you go.
So I want to close with a quote that I saw this week, and I'm not going to have it exactly right, and I regret that I didn't – when I saw it, it came and went. It sort of flowed by through social media, and I didn't capture who said it, so I apologize for not being able to give it proper credit. But someone was talking about Gen Xers, which the three of us are, and they said Gen Xers were 30 when they turned 10, and now that they're in their 50s, they are still 30.
True.
I think that is dead on accurate.
I would say 20.
No.
I'm more
no.
like 20. Well you guys
okay,
are adults.
Yes, you.
Yeah, me. I'm still I'm still 13, right. So it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think this is.
Yeah, you got a little Benjamin
accurate.
Buttons going on for you, Jason. You're aging backwards. But.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah. I feel like we grew up quickly because
latchkey kids.
We were latchkey kids. We were self sufficient.
Feral.
But now, but now that we're in our 50s, we're still acting as though we're in our 30s. And
cargo shorts, t-shirts, AirPods
right,
in.
Right.
It's exactly
nostalgia.
What I'm wearing. Fuck off.
Yeah. Playing. Yeah. Exactly. We refuse to grow up.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why?
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? Get a bowler hat and wear that around town with a cane? Like, I'm comfortable in my cargo shorts and t-shirt.
Yes. Yeah, I was in the grocery store earlier this week, and I saw a gentleman walking around pushing a cart, and he had a three-piece suit on, and I went, wow! Wow! Like, you just don't see people dressed that formally anymore.
I have to be honest. I don't know if I've ever owned a three-piece suit, ever.
I did when I was like 10 to go to church in.
Right. But then you turned 30 immediately and got rid of it. So.
Exactly. Burned my
I've
ties.
I've had a three-piece suit. No. I own a tuxedo, which I think is pretty grown up of me. But
that's pretty fancy, Dave.
Yeah.
I got to say. Yeah.
So but here's the deal. You wear your stormtrooper helmet when you wear your tuxedo. So come
that's
on.
Right.
Now that's
a photo. True. That's right. Well, the thing is I do enough emceeing that it makes sense for me to – it's actually sensible for me to have a tuxedo. So.
That's true. Yes.
All
yeah,
right.
No, that quote was definitely going around. I saw it multiple times. And yeah, it resonates big time.
Yeah.
So, yes. Agreed.
Yeah. They nailed it.
Yep.
All right, guys. I will see you next time. Take care.
Alrighty. Bye.
Closing shout outs.
Over at Patreon, we've got Roman. Welcome, Roman.
Yeah. How's life going after secession?
Yeah, really.
Still
man.
At the bar? Yeah, having a
well,
few
he's
drinks.
Obviously got enough scratch to help us out, so appreciate
no, he
it.
He is a multimillionaire no matter what. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Over at PayPal, we've got Dag, Blake Bowling, Ramsey, Andrew, Mike, Tom, Joseph, Gabriel, who gave us $21.12. That might be a rush shout out, perhaps. Nathaniel and Brian, thank you all so much.
And over at Stripe, we've got Sean, Karen, and Roman again, because Roman does have all
he's
the.
He's drunk at the bar.
He is drunk at the
us
bar.
Money.
Yeah, tossed us another $40 on the tip jar. So thank you, Roman.
Thank you.
And now reviews this week, unless you count all the Cialis reviews on the website. We got lots of those.
Yeah, our pod page site is stuck about 20 years ago in terms of CAPTCHAs and things like that, apparently. Or the bots are just getting smarter. Or Elon's very bored.
AI, man. Yeah. It's all about the AI.
Yeah. Well, until next time, I'm Brian Schulmeister.
And I'm Jason DeFilippo. Thanks for listening to Grumpy Old Geeks. Show notes and links to everything we talked about today are at gog.show/610. gog.show/donate is the place to drop us a few bills so we can keep bringing you this top-notch entertainment. Sharing the show with your friends and enemies or anyone in between is free and can be almost as good as cash. At gog.show, you can find a link to our Discord channel if you want to chat with us and other show fans and trade some swanky gifts and the like. Head over to gog.show/contact to send us your feedback, comments, or links to cool shit we think we should talk about. gog.show/review is where you can toss us a review and preferably 5 stars, and don't tell us about Cialis because we're fine in that department. I personally have Viagra, but hey, I don't even have that. What am I talking about? I'm single. Jesus.
We need ads for Tinder, apparently.
Seriously? Come on.
Do people still use Tinder? What are the kids on these days? I have no idea.
I have no idea. The kids are out at the bar because social media sucks.
Okay, good.
Who knows?
Back to reality.
I don't know if you've read the news. Nobody's screwing anymore, so that's where it's at.
More screwing for me.
There you go.
Oh, wait, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. It is not a zero-sum game.
Damn.
Stay grumpy.
I'm going to pick it all up.
Looky here what I found. There's some screwing on the ground.
Best outro
grumpy.
Ever.
Go ahead. Go. I got to go home now and cry.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.